Welcome to the Voice of Florida Architecture. I'm your host, Rhonda Hammond, AIA. One of the missions of this podcast was to communicate the value we bring as architects through the design of the built environment in our communities. One goal we set for ourselves to accomplish this was by introducing each of the 13 AIA Florida components. We've invited the leadership of each component for a conversation and let them share how they specifically are bringing value to their members and their community. Today, we have the pleasure of speaking with the leaders of AIA Florida Northwest. Please welcome Carlos Godinez, AIA President, and Brooke Godinez, AIA past president of the component. Welcome to you both.
Thank you.
Thanks.
So if our listeners were listening in on that, you notice that they both have the same last name. Any relation there?
We are husband and wife.
15 plus years now.
Going strong. So, that's great. Congratulations. Yeah. You know, my husband and I are both architects and work together. So I have to ask about that question because people always ask, how do you do it? How do you work with them every day? But you guys don't work together, right?
No, we do not work together.
Now, if I remember the story, you met in Southern California. How did you make it to the Panhandle?
My family has been in Pensacola since 1999. So I actually did high school here in the Pensacola area and then went back to Los Angeles to go to USC for college. And I met Carlos, who is a few years older than me. And we stayed in LA, started our careers in LA. And then in 2011, when we were trying to pull out of the financial crisis, we thought things were doing better. I switched and actually worked at his firm briefly for about 3 or 4 months. And then I got laid off. And it kind of coincided with the time where we were looking to leave Los Angeles and move closer towards my family, but not necessarily Pensacola. And when I got laid off, it seemed like that was, it wasn't a door that was open, but a window or something. And we decided to just jump and go for it. And it took about 2 weeks from the time we decided we were leaving till we had everything loaded in a moving van and we were driving down Interstate 10 across the country.
So going back to the chapter itself, I understand that this year, 2025, is the chapter's 55th anniversary. That's quite a lifetime. So right now you have 251 licensed persons in your area and 133 of those are members, which gives you a market share of about 53%, which I think is a good number to be running. And you guys cover Bay, Escambia, Gulf, Holmes, Okaloosa, Santa Rosa, Walton, and Washington counties. I think that's a lot. That's a broad area there. I think your neighbors with AIA Tallahassee, which is my hometown, we're neighbors. You also have some influential members, Mr. Steve Jernigan, FAIA, who's chairman of the Board of Architecture and Interior Design, and Senator Charlie Clary, FAIA, both who served AIA for many years and are members of your component. So as the new component president, Carlos, tell us what makes the Northwest component what it is and share your vision for the component this year.
Well, thank you, Rhonda. I mean, first, I want to say I'm very honored to be serving as AIA Northwest Florida's president this year. I've been on the board of AIA Northwest Florida for, I think, since 2017 or 2018. So they finally told me I had to step up and drive the bus for a little bit. So I'm very honored to be here. Like you said, Northwest Component stretches from the Alabama border all the way to Panama City. Distance-wise, it's approximately 100 miles, and it's about 2 hours of driving time. So it's quite the different geographic area that we're a part of. We're also the only component that's on completely in Central Time Zone. I know everybody thinks Florida is in Eastern Time Zone, but not for us. We live in Central Time Zone, which makes for some interesting meetings when you're working with people who are on Eastern time and they say, oh, let's do a 1 o'clock meeting. What's the big deal? It's like, well, that's lunch. So we've learned to live with that. We have a great group of members, associate members, allied members that help fulfill our mission and our vision. My vision for this year is not much different than it's been for the past few years. And that's just to provide our members with great programming and opportunities to support the local communities in our component. Like you said, this year we're celebrating our 55 years as a component, and we're working hard to make this the best year ever. We really didn't get to celebrate our 50th because it was COVID. So we're making up for it now. Our first event this year was an evening lecture that we just had on Tuesday evening. It was with Matt Finn, AIA, and it was titled Architecture for Health. And we actually did that with a partnership with Escambia County Medical Society in conjunction with Santa Rosa County. So again, trying to cooperate and coordinate with our local communities to put on some great events.
So what was the topic of that event?
That was Architecture for Health. And it was about how architecture can help with well-being.
You're one of the, in the middle third of size of the components around the state. Do you guys have paid staff or are you volunteer led?
I have Becky and George, who we love. They really help us a lot and take care of all those other things and let us really focus on just the type of events that we want to put on for our membership.
So Carlos, understand that AIA Florida Northwest is the longest running chapter that has, or maybe the first chapter that had AIA headquarters be their manager. Is that right?
That's correct. And it's been a great decision. It was done long before I was even member of the board, but it is a great help and it lets us focus on our membership.
So Brooke, as past president, you've seen this component grow. You've been a part of that. What do you think is the strength of this component?
Like Carlos said, we have a lot of dedicated members that allow us to accomplish great things. I like to say we're small but mighty. We're not the biggest in size. We do cover a large geographic footprint, but our membership is not that large compared to Tampa, Miami, Orlando, but our members bring ideas to the table and they contribute to the success of the chapter. Just started a small firm collaborative at the end of last year, and we're excited to see where that takes us. That was started by someone in the chapter that said, you know, there's a lot of small firms. Why don't we do this and see where it goes? And so that group is just forming and finding what they want to do, and we'll see where we are in 2-3 years.
What a great idea. So besides the geographical area, what are some of the other challenges you face as a smaller component?
A lot of it for us is to really try to keep the whole component engaged. Trying to do events that involve the whole component, it has been very difficult. So we, you know, with most of our membership being more concentrated in Pensacola and smaller groups in Destin and in Panama City, we've really tried to make an effort to put on events, what we call the east side of the component. We do monthly CEUs. And when we started doing that, it was really easy to get presenters for the Pensacola region because it was the biggest region. But we quickly found out that we needed to make it to where we were still being able to offer those same CEU lunches on the east side of the chapter. So in our component, when somebody comes and wants to do a presentation, they sign an agreement to do 3 different CEUs, one in Pensacola, one in the middle of the component in Santa Rosa, and then one in kind of Destin, Panama City area. So that is definitely one of the bigger challenges. And we work hard to try to where we get together as a whole component, at least for our annual awards banquet so that we can see each other.
I was at the last one. It was a very nice event. That's where you gave Senator Clary the Lifetime Achievement Award. It was a very nice event. So you just talked about the lecture series that you just did with the Escambia County Medical Society. What are some of the other resources that the Pensacola and the Panhandle offers that supports you in your programming? I know you don't have a school, you know, not all the components have a school. I don't know if there are other resources.
Our history, we have a great history here. Obviously, Pensacola is first settlement in Florida, and especially with residential architecture, even though we are kind of founded in the 1600s, we still have a very eclectic array of architecture here, especially on the residential side. You'll find colonial, you'll find craftsman, you'll find mid-century modern here, and just about anything in between. So it's a great resource. Obviously, the east side of the chapter has 30A and all those planned communities that are very popular, very cool to go visit as architecturally. The idea of a walkable community is very interesting. And then we have some great allied members that support us, great companies that help sponsor events every year for us as well.
AIA Florida Northwest won the Chapter Anthony Tony Pilar Award in 2022. This award honors a component that strives to exceed core member services as established by AIA and its members' expectations, particularly in the areas of public awareness and outreach, political effectiveness, and membership development. So tell us how the small volunteer-led component captured this award.
The effort to pursue the Polara Chapter Award was largely done by Elizabeth Fleischhauer from our chapter, and that was the year that she was president. She wanted to pursue that, and as a board, we began collecting and documenting different efforts of things that we do over the course of several months. And we determined that we had a lot of content to submit based on our different events we do. And we have Pensacan in the fall, and we do the Gingerbread House program, and we have a programming committee that's very active. And then being next door to Tallahassee allows us to really engage and be active with FAPAC and Legislative Day every year. It's a 2.5 hour drive from Pensacola. It's a little bit shorter from Panama City, but we've had members that get up early that morning and drive over, or they come home that night, and it's a lot more accessible than if we were coming from South Florida. So that really lets us to engage a lot easier than if we had to devote several days to that trip.
It was a great acknowledgement from the state level of what we've been doing. You know, it's easy to just measure, you know, the success of an event by how many people attend, but it's great to be recognized for putting in that amount of work to put on these events and be recognized for them. So
you also have a robust Women in Architecture program. Share how that program was formed and how you support the women in this group.
Our Women in Architecture group started as a task force in 2022 when Lourdes Solera was AIA Florida's president. She put out a challenge to have each component develop a WIA group, and it became a committee for us in 2023. So we spent a year as a task force studying if there was a need and a want for this committee. After a year, we determined people were excited and engaging in events and that there was room for it. And we have virtual meetings with guest speakers and informal social gatherings. A couple of weeks ago, we had a coffee social, and we're planning a panel discussion for later this year, but we have a member that just moved here, and she showed up at our coffee social because she is new to the area and it was her second week working in Pensacola and wanted to meet people. We have a lot of military in Pensacola and towards Destin, lots of military bases up in the panhandle. What that does is we get a lot of members that are here for a short time that may be married to someone in the military and they're here for 2 or 3 years, and having different events and stuff allows people to connect with our community and quickly get pulled in.
Your gingerbread event that you just mentioned earlier has become increasingly popular. I'm excited that we have it on the national interactive map that shows the educational opportunities around the state. Share with our listeners what that event is and how it works.
Gingerbread was started over 10 years ago by a member of our chapter, and it's continued to grow and spread year after year. We partner with Fisher Cabinet locally, and they cut and finish lots to provide our students to build the houses. So Fisher Cabinet provides the lots. We go in and do a presentation to the students and introduce them to the AEC industry and give them a set of rules that is the zoning for the gingerbread house district. They take their lot home and they build whatever they want following the criteria. And then they bring it back to the school to judge for awards night. And then we have one school in Escambia County that's an alternative learning site. We made a connection with the art teacher there, and they do it as an in-class assignment and have awards there. So they build it over the 4 class periods, and then we do awards. And then this past year in 2024, we said, if it works at Hope Horizon, why can't we be inclusive with our ESE classrooms? So we made the offer to 2 of our schools that have been partnering with us for many years and said, we can do it. It's been done before. We want to include your ESE students. So we had 24 students across 3 different schools do it as an in-class assignment with a kit of parts the chapter provided. And they got to build it at school and then participate with the rest of their 5th grade peers in the award ceremony and display their houses, and they were really proud and really excited. Tiffany Castricone is the co-chair for Gingerbread, and she helps manage the schools on the east side of the chapter. It's really hard with our spread of territory to be in Pensacola and be in Panama City in the same day. And so Tiffany tends to take care of the schools that are in Destin and Panama City, and she is their main point of contact, and she's the one that runs the events for them. And then I handle the Pensacola schools in Santa Rosa County.
That's incredible. Do you have any idea how many students have participated throughout the years?
This past year, we gave out about 300 lots. Some of them don't ever get returned to us. Other ones, they work with a partner, but I think we're close to 300 students or maybe a little bit more. And we're doing that across 5 different school districts. So we have 2 co-chairs to that committee. One handles the west side and one handles the east side. But we have schools in several different districts participating and slowly adding more schools as we can support them. And that's all volunteer. So the members from our chapter go in and serve as judges, and they give them awards for the best roux, for the best use of peppermints, and they get an award certificate just like our members do at our Design and Honor Awards.
So you do that once a year?
We do that. We usually go in and do the presentation to introduce them to the project a little bit before Thanksgiving, and they take home their boards to build. And then early in December, between Thanksgiving and winter break, is when we go in and have their awards night and judging. So they get to take it home and enjoy it for Christmas. And we actually got to participate on the other end last year when our daughter did it. We started it at her school when she was about 3 years old. And last year she was in 5th grade, so she got to build her own house after watching it and tagging along for judging for many, many years. In addition to the gingerbread house that we do every year in December, end of the year time, we also have our annual tree and stocking event. We decorate trees for a local children's hospital and fill stockings for residents at an assisted living community for veterans near Eglin and Hurlburt Field. This event was started several years ago by one of our associate members, Michelle Birch, who has been the past associate director and a chapter director, and our allied director, Jill Arno. They had seen something similar done in other areas, not through AIA, but other areas of the country, I think Atlanta, and they wanted to bring it here. So we started with trees, and then we added stockings onto the event. And our family participates every year by letting our kids pick a theme, and they decorate their own tree. And they know that that tree goes to the party, and they go to the party with us, and then it goes to the hospital. And there's probably another kid that has to be at the hospital at Christmas time, and they get that tree to enjoy.
It's turned into one of our biggest events of the year now because everybody gets to participate. Jill actually donates through her company, donates the trees and the stockings that get decorated. So nobody has to go buy them. Everybody starts with the same little, plastic wire tree, and just what our membership has done in decorating them every year, just it just keeps escalating. We try to, Brooke and I, with our kids, we try to focus with thinking about the kids that are in the hospital, but that, you know, that's not to say that the others don't, but some of the trees just have gotten really cool, really outrageous with their designs. And everybody looks forward to it. And it's one of our most recent annual events.
We have a lot of events that are very family friendly. You can bring your kids. You can bring your kids to Pensacan. You see children and teenagers helping their parents build the sculptures and come to view them. We do a FAPAC fundraiser. We do a bowling night, and that's family friendly too. So there's plenty of opportunities to be engaged, not just as an individual architect member, but to bring spouses and children and extended family members.
Speaking to the architects in your area who are not members, that's only like 47%. What would you like to tell them? Why should they join?
We work hard to convey the message about why AIA is important. and why they should join. But I think what's been a lot more effective is the community events that we put on, or the community partnered events that we put on, being Gingerbread, like Brooke just talked about. We also put on an event called Pensacan. Pensacan is a annual event that we've been doing for many, many years, probably well past 15 years here in Pensacola. We partner with Mana Food Bank, which is the local food bank in Pensacola, but distributes food all across the region. Our teams build sculptures out of cans of food, pasta and other, you know, box pasta and other things, and create these great sculptures every year that we display at our local mall for a week. And it's the whole point of it is to raise food for Mana Food Bank. We typically do this around late summer, which is actually a very slow point for donations to Mana. So it really helps them at a time of great need for a lot of families. We had originally started with participating architecture firms, and we've over the years we've opened it up to anybody who wants to participate, whether they're an organization, a school. We've had high schools participate, Navy Federal, who's, you know, obviously a huge company here in the region. They actually put on a competition within Navy Federal, and then the winner gets to participate in our Pensacan and build the sculpture at the mall. So they've taken it to a whole nother level. Over the years, I mean, every year the food we raise feeds hundreds and thousands of meals is how Amanda likes to put it. And we're happy to help them out. They've partnered with us to such a great extent now that they practically run the whole event now, and we just assist. So over the years, it's become a great event for our component and for us to participate in. We also have our Christmas tree and stocking decorating event at the end of the year, which we tie in with our holiday party for the component. And those, I think, have been a great way of showing those non-members what we do and why they should be involved. And, so a little bit more of showing them instead of just talking to them about it.
So you both are very active in AIA, both at the local and at the state level. Why do you feel being a part of AIA is important?
I think when you step back and look at what AIA offers, there's plenty of resources and opportunities to collect CEUs. So it's not necessarily the continuing education, although we love going to AIA Florida's convention every year and doing CEUs and the Advanced Building Code. But AIA offers community, and it's also the only organization that is actively working to protect our profession through the FAPAC efforts and Legislative Day each year. And no one else does that. You can find community other places, you can find your CEU opportunities, but no one's protecting our license. We all worked really hard to get licensed, and we want to keep it as a protected profession that we work hard at each day and protect it for future generations.
I would second what Brooke said about community. We look forward every year to going to state convention and just seeing people from all across the state. Last year, I was blessed to go to the Leadership Summit, which was a great event. It was the first time I'd gone, and I'm just meeting so many of the people there. Community is definitely a big one for me as well.
So thank you both, Carlos and Brooke, for your dedication to the profession and AIA, and most importantly, to your local membership. And thank you for being with us here today.
Cool. Thank you.
Thanks.
So AIA Florida Northwest is an active component with a robust agenda of member-focused programming. You can reach out for more information at their website at www.aianwfl.com. I also welcome you to subscribe to our podcast so you won't miss any of the upcoming episodes. You can find us on Apple and Spotify. This is Rhonda Hammond, AIA, your host. Thank you for listening to this episode of The Voice of Florida Architecture.